Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Vishnu Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Stotra Shri Shri Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantharashimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Shri Kishore Kishore Ki Jai Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Maharan Ki Jai Samita Bhaktavinda Ki Jai Nitai Go Premanand All glory to assembled devotees. All glory to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna. My name is Yamuna Jivandas. For those who I may not know, or you may not know me. And feel a little misfit, if you will, to be sitting here and speaking to many of you, because I see myself as an entangled grahastha, and I see in the audience many people are giving their life to Krishna, so it's kind of incongruent, but Nityan Prabhu requested if I could, he said, I would like you to speak, and I have difficulty saying no to him. So, if there's anyone you should blame after the class. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 16th chapter, text 50. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Yannaradangirobhyam Te Vyaratam Menushasanam Samsiddho Sitaya Rajan Vidyaya Darshanachame Shri Bhagavan Vacha Yannaradangirobhyam Te Vyaratam Venushasanam Samsiddho Sitaya Rajan Vidyaya Darshanachame Shri Bhagavan Vacha Yannaradangirobhyam Te Vyaratam Menushasanam Samsiddho Sitaya Rajan Vidyaya Darshanachame Shri Bhagavan Vacha Yannaradam Yante Samsido Sitaya Rajan Vidyaya Darshanachame Shri Bhagavan Vacha Yannaradangirobhyam te Vyaratam menushasanam Samsiddho Sitaya Rajan Samya Tashnachame Shri Bhagavan Vacha यन्नारदाङ्गिरोभ्यां ते व्यारतं मेनुशासनम् संसिदोऽसि तया राजन् विद्यया दर्शना च मे श्रीभगवानुवाच यन्नारदाङ्गिरोभ्यां ते व्यारतमेनुशासनम् संसिद्धोऽसि तया राजन् विद्यया दर्शना च मे श्रीभगवानुवाच The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shankarshana replied, Yat, which, Naradang Girobhyam, by the great sages Narada and Angira, Te, unto you, Vyaratam, spoken, Me, of me, Anushasanam, the worship, samsiddha, completely perfected, asi, you are, daya, by that, rajan, O king, vidyaya, mantra, darshanan, from the direct sight, cha, as well as, me, of me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ananta Dev, replied as follows. O King, as a result of your having accepted the instructions spoken about me by the great sages Narada and Angira, you have become completely aware of transcendental knowledge. Because you are now educated in the spiritual science, you have seen me face to face. Therefore, you are now completely perfect. Perfect. The perfection of life is to be spiritually educated and to understand the existence of the Lord and how He creates, maintains, and annihilates the cosmic manifestation. When one is perfect in knowledge, he can develop his love of Godhead through the association of such perfect persons as Narada and Angira and the members of their disciplic succession. Then one is able to see the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Although the Lord is unlimited, by his causeless mercy he becomes visible to the devotee, who is then able to see Him. In our present position of conditioned life, we cannot see or understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ata Shri Krishna namadina bhaved grayam indriye sevan mukhe hi jivadau svayam eva spuratyada. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, qualities and pastimes of Shri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.34. If one takes to spiritual life under the direction of Narada Muni or his representative and thus engages himself in the service of the Lord, he qualifies himself to see the Lord face to face. The Brahma Samhita 5.38 states, Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram ichintya guna swarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen
By the devotee whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love, he is seen in the eternal form of Shyamasundara situated within the heart of the devotee. One must follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Thus one becomes qualified and later sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead as evinced by Maharaj Chaketu. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Shcha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Namami Hari Priye Ancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasali Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, where we are is where Chitraketu has just presented a series of beautiful prayers to the Lord. Sankarsana is right there. And rattled off a number of prayers in deep devotion. So you ever wonder, you ever wonder if you had the opportunity to offer prayers to the Lord in person? What would that feeling be like? And then, how would the Lord respond? How exactly would, let's say, Kishore Kishori respond? Some of us may not have the ability to hear Kishore Kishori speak, but imagine if you offer a whole bunch of prayers and Kishore Kishori were to respond. What would they say? In the case of Kunti in the first canto, or in the case of Brahma in the 10th canto, Krishna did not say anything. He was just quiet. With Kunti, there was a slight smile. With Brahma, he just unblinking eyes, didn't say anything, even though Lord Brahma offered beautiful series of very deep prayers. In Dhruva Maharaj's case, it was different. With Prahlad Maharaj, it was different. Now, Chitraketu's case, also the Lord actually says something to him. Everything that the Lord does is dependent, is in reciprocation with the devotee. And for Chitraketu, in his case, the first thing that he decides to tell Chitraketu in response to his beautiful prayers is this, is that you're completely perfect. Imagine if Krishna would have said, you're completely perfect. Yeah. He says you're completely perfect, but he doesn't give him the credit for being completely perfect. He says you're completely perfect because you had one qualification, actually. That one qualification is you accepted, the translation reads, as a result of your having accepted the instructions spoken about me by the great sages Narada and Angira. From there, you receive transcendental knowledge, you become spiritually educated. And from being spiritually educated, now you're able to see me face to face. Therefore, you're completely perfected. So the one quality that Chittaketu had that he's acknowledging to him at the get-go is, you've accepted the mercy of my devotee. So this is along the theme of the last few classes. I wasn't there yesterday, but a couple of days ago. It's the same theme that's continuing. It's by the mercy of the devotees, by accepting the instructions of the devotees, that Chittaketu was able to reach perfection. There's an interesting aspect to this, in that the function of the devotee is described, and forgive me, I may be off tangent a little bit, but this is something that I've been thinking about the last couple of days, today and yesterday evening, is that what is the function of devotees, really? In this case, Krishna is saying very clearly, Vyahratam Menushasanam, that the devotees are explaining about Anushasanam. Anushasanam, here Prabhupada translates it as the worship. In other places, it's described as the rules and regulations of devotional service, or the ways to perform devotional service, and so forth. So, Anushasanam is that the function of the devotee is to provide us instructions on what? On how to reach Krishna. Me. He's specifically saying me. Me. Which is the same in English, me. So that's the function of devotees. Devotees are not meant to do other things for us, although we might have expectations, especially in a community like this. We might have expectations that devotees fulfill some emotional need, or, you know, do a certain something or the other, or that they behave a certain way when I do, you know, none of that. Really, what the function of the spiritual guide or the devotee is, Vyaritam Menushasanam, to give us instructions so that we can learn how to serve Krishna. When we're stuck with expectations about what the devotees are supposed to provide us, it bogs us down. It really disturbs our own sadhana and so on and so forth, because we're holding on to material attachments. Similarly with Krishna. Here, when offering prayers to Krishna, Krishna is responding to Chittaketu. But in the case of Kunti, on the case of Brahma, he didn't respond anything. You know, how do you feel? You give your whole heart to Krishna and then all you get is maybe a slight smile or absolutely no response. What's going on? Actually, we're receiving exactly what's best for us, to grow and to become closer to Krishna. So that faith should be there. The other thing that's happening in this verse, before we get into purport, is that he's describing, Lord Shankarshan is describing what perfection is. So with material mindset, the idea of perfection is kind of skewed. What exactly is perfection? What exactly is success? Right? And even when we enter devotional service, that conception of perfection is kind of twisted. I mean, it starts getting clearer as we enter into Krishna consciousness, but it starts to... But it's really from a twisted idea. We start with that, and hopefully it gets corrected as we move on. And generally, what perfection is dependent upon our own conditioning, of how we see, how the modes of nature particularly influencing me. I recall some devotees I was close to, the idea of perfection in the beginning was, you know, being on top of everybody else, being a great preacher, right? Being able to distribute so many books, being able to make so many devotees, and so on and so forth. That sometimes that's what we see as perfect, because that's what we see those who are very elevated, that's what they're doing. And so perfection is, we see the externals. They're very good at wearing their tilak or something like that. They have perfect dhotis. They wear the chadar on this side and it comes down just beautiful. I don't know. So the idea of perfection, being able to sing very wonderfully, dance and dance very nicely, do the Swami step perfectly. The idea of perfection, generally, because, and how do we know that? Because people start to imitate that. We start to imitate based on the idea of perfection. What is success? We hear the idea of success as being described by Sankarshan. He's saying that the idea of success is, number one, to be spiritually educated. It means your heart is purified of material conceptions, and you actually have spiritual conceptions with which you see life. And the second, by cultivation of what Prabhupada says, love of Godhead, once you're educated, you can start to cultivate love for Krishna, affection for Krishna, service to Krishna, and receive reciprocation from Krishna. That relationship is cultivated upon spiritual conception, and then one gets to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's perfection. It's different than the typical idea. In Rishabhdev's instructions to his sons in the early in the fifth canto, he says that parabhavastavadabodhajato yavanya jigyasat atmatattvam yavanya help me yavat kriyastavad idam manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandha. So you're saying that parabhavastavad abhodhajato yavanya jigyasat atmatattvam, that all of one's life is a complete failure if they're not inquiring into the Absolute Truth. Meaning they haven't gone very deep internally to ask the question, who am I? And what's the purpose of life? That question actually has to be asked at a very deep level and has to be asked every day. Who am I and what's my purpose of life? I wake up in the morning. As soon as we wake up, Prabhupada taught us, you pay obeisances, you wake up and immediately you call out the name of Krishna. And sometimes it might get mechanical. We wake up and it's, you know, Kishore Kishore Ki Jai. In my case, I say Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, and offer obeisance to the spiritual master. And go walk in, run into the shower, brush our teeth, or I'm late for Mangalarti or something. You know, we immediately get up and start running. But this question of who am I, you know, perfection of life, we need to actually, something that is nice practice, wake up and think about, okay, who am I? In my case, I've got, I've got kids all over me and I've got a wife, and I wake up and say, who are these people? You know, and how, you know, how are we related? I mean, what's our purpose? And, you know, why am I here? What's all this about anyway? You know, think about that. It's really nice. I mean, it's really relieving to immediately think, okay, these relationships are temporary. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. But they're Krishna's parts and parcels, my opportunity to serve them. And who am I? This smelly, yucky, lousy material body that I have can go immediately. Anytime it can be dissolved. In fact, today I might die. Really? You wake up and you think about, today I might die. So, given that this body is temporary, who am I and what am I supposed to be doing anyway with my life? So if we don't inquire into that, which many days I don't, at least, some days it's really nice to think about that, but some days we don't inquire, who am I? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Perfection cannot even be, you know, it cannot even be touched. Rishabhdev says, before you even start your day, if you've not thought about who you are, yavanya jigyasata atma tapa, if you've not inquired, who am I, you know, your day is lost. You're just running around doing things. uh, So anyway, so he's describing perfection. The other thing that's interesting is he starts off the verse saying, Yan Naradangira Bhyamte. So he's acknowledging, Bhagwan is acknowledging Narada and Angira. A few days ago, Chitraketu, when he was saying, Katam Anyata, what was the last word? Katam Anyata Bhavate. So how could this have happened, Katam Anyata, without the mercy of Narada? Right? Here the Lord is also saying, and Angira. Because of the mercy of Narada and Angira. Actually, Angira had a lot of concern for Chitraketu. If you remember early on, when we, I assume you all were part of the discussion then, but Angira was just wandering. He didn't have a particular engagement. He thinking, let me go visit Chitraketu. He went to visit Chitraketu, and he saw from Chitraketu's face, because just from the face we can tell if a devotee is doing good or not. They generally don't have to say anything. But just from the face you can see. And he could see that Chitraketu is not doing very well. And he made the arrangement for Chitraketu to recognize that this world is not fun. Because Chitraketu was adamant in trying to find a way to enjoy here, or be peaceful here, somehow make this place comfortable and happy, this material world. And he was stuck there. Even if Angira would have said something to him, he knew that Chitraketu couldn't take the message. So he made this whole plan so that Chitraketu could be elevated. It's called experiential learning. That's what Lakshmi Moni Mataji was sharing with us in our teacher's training course. She was saying, this is such an amazing example of how Angira taught Chitraketu Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. So Krishna says Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, and later he says Anityam Asukham. Two times in the Bhagavad Gita he says, this place is a place of misery and it's temporary. Chitraketu couldn't see that message, and so Angira created this whole plan so that he could have this experiential learning exercise. He personally experienced it, and he went, oh my God, this is not fun. Really, this place is not fun. And when his heart was open, that's when Narada and Angira spoke to him, the transcendental knowledge, and he was able to receive it, accept it. But note that for him to even accept it, whose mercy was it? It's Angira's mercy. He created the environment so that Chitraketu suffered like anything so that he could accept the instructions and become perfect. It doesn't always have to happen like this, because Prabhupada says there are four different classes of intelligence, right? The top class of intelligence is just by hearing we can understand. The second class of intelligence is when we see others experience it, we understand. The third is that we personally have to experience it, then we understand. And the fourth class of intelligence is I'm sighing because, you know, I'm thinking about my life. Even if we do hear, we don't understand. We don't pick it up. And there's so many experiences of that on a day-to-day basis. How many times has Prabhupada taught us through his books and through the devotees that overeating is not good? And yesterday, I had the next door cheese dosa, and it was difficult to, you know, sleep and wake up and all. Even if we don't, the fourth class of intelligence is we don't understand even when we personally experience it. So, in this case, this is the third class of intelligence, where you have to experience it to hear. And then if you think about first canto, Narada Muni, when he didn't have to go through a major, you know, difficulty in life. He was simply given instructions by the Bhaktivedantas, and he received it. He was just very humble and very receptive to them, very disciplined, and because of those qualities, he was able to receive the messages from the Bhaktivedantas. And what a catastrophe in his life. A five-year-old boy, his mother passes away. And there was no one around him. His mother passed away. There was no one around him to support him. He's not even an adult. He was a five-year-old boy. He says, he wasn't like, where's the Bhaktivedantas? Where are these people helping? You know, no, nothing, no complaint. Immediately that happened, he said, this must be the arrangement of the Lord. Because he had that faith, he was spiritually educated. Meaning that education wasn't just in the brain, it was in the heart. And from the heart, he was able to say, yes, this is Krishna's mercy. His mother died. He is the only support. Chitraketu, his son died. He still had his, you know, a million wives left as his company. But yet he was so anguished. But anyway, so there's a distinction in how one can receive. But if one can get to this point of accepting the instructions of the great devotees, Narada Muni in this case, and the Bhaktivedantas in Narada's case, if we can get to this point somehow or the other, whether first class, second class, third class, or whatever class intelligence, if we can get to this point of receiving the mercy of the great souls, perfection can be had. Something else that's really beautiful about the Bhagavatam is that we see it through these stories how the messages from earlier on in the Bhagavatam, especially the first, second, and third chapters of the first canto, they lay the foundation for the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Right. So, when you think of this verse, what section of the second chapter or third chapter, first chapter of Bhagavatam do you remember when it says, when Sankarsana is saying, or Anantadeva is saying, that as a result of your having accepted the instructions, you've now received transcendental knowledge, you've now developed love for me, now you're seeing me, therefore you're perfect. Where's that process described? Yeah, that's another example. Where's the process described? Yeah, the second chapter. Shushrusho shadadanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahatseva punyateta nishevanat. And what's the end of that section? Jasya karmani drishtaivatmanishvare, that you see the self as master, and that could be understood different ways, but one of the ways to understand is you see the master, Anantadev, right there in front of you. So that process, which is in the second chapter, is being very vividly described through the medium of Chitraketu's story. So there, what was the beginning is this very important component, shushushosha dadhanasya. In the first chapter, Vyasadeva says it very simply and very quickly. He says, Tapatrayon Mulanam, the misery of material life that one experiences, the complications, the problems from other devotees, or other people, problems from the material nature, the cold, the heat, the problem from other living entities, problem from our own mind and bodies, tapatreya, right? These threefold miseries, unmalam, they're removed, they're uprooted. How? Sadhya riddhya varudhyate trakitibhi shushu shubhi takshana. So the same word is there, shushu shubhi. It's only one word, the only one qualification we actually need, shushu shubhi. And what happens? Sadhya riddhya varudhyate trakitibhi shushu shubhi. That sadhya immediately Takshanat, also immediately. So basically two words that mean immediately one can see Krishna in one's heart, or Krishna manifests in one heart immediately. Only one qualification. Shushushubis. And later on in the second chapter, the verse that Nityam Prabhu quoted, Shushushoshadhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Sevayavapra Punyateta Nishevanata. Just that one qualification, how does it come? How do we get attraction for Krishna's message? And then later on, attraction for Krishna, where the heart becomes purified and we become fixed in devotion and the modes of nature become alleviated from our. From being, you know, on top of us and kind of controlling us. All of that happens just by this shushushubis, this one word, this quality. Here he describes it as accepting the instructions. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, care, attention, respect, and he used one more word, patience. All of these words Prabhupada uses, respect, care, attention, and patience, they all come under this core quality, shushushubis. One is eager, one wants to. One is sincerely wanting Krishna. It's the person, Krishna. So that is what enables acceptance, what enables perfection. In the purport, Prabhupada is describing this verse, so the process, right? What are the instructions that we receive? One of the instructions is Atashi Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grayam Indriye Sevan Mukhe Ijivada Swayam Evas Puratyada. So Prabhupada explains, in our current condition, we cannot see Krishna face to face. I mean, we can see Krishna in his deity form, but we really cannot see Krishna because if we were to be able to see Krishna there, we would be completely joyful all the time. No modes of nature influence whatsoever. If you could really see Krishna. But we can't because there's a cloud of material energy upon us. And that cloud of material energy is composed of passion and ignorance and so many flavors of passion and ignorance and different mixes of passion and ignorance. And we can't see Krishna. Like we cannot see. It's challenging. So what to do? Atashi Krishna Namadi na bhavet grayam indriya. Even when we're chanting, Namadi, meaning the name, the form, the qualities. We cannot see Krishna because of material conceptions. However, Sevan mukhe hi jivadam Swayam eva spuratyada. That by service, Prabhupada describes it this way. He says, when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord, then Swayam eva spuratyada, Krishna automatically manifests. His name, his form, his qualities. When he sees the devotee's sincerity, he sees the devotee's service, then Krishna makes himself available. So it's not that our goal is that, oh, I want to see Krishna. I want to see Krishna face to face. Why isn't Krishna coming before me face to face? Rather, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes that a devotee's aspiration is that we want to serve Krishna in such a way that he feels obliged, not obliged necessarily, but he feels like he wants to give his causeless mercy and come before us. We want to serve Krishna in such a way, we want to give our heart to Krishna in such a way that he feels like he wants to see us. That's how to serve. That's how we cultivate. So, Sevan Mukhe Jiva. And how to do it? The verse Rupa Goswami says, Jiva Ado. That we have to begin with this guy, the tongue. Our bodies generally are quite interesting things. The tongue is especially yucky. You know, underneath the tongue is yucky. What comes out from the tongue is yucky. Nice food goes in, but let's say you were to take it out, what we might speak sometimes, So what we hear is pure nature, let's say from the Bhagavatam or the holy name. But what comes out sometimes, prajalpa and other things like that. This tongue actually is not a very clean, it's not a very clean sense. In fact, none of our senses are clean. If you think about it, our ears, our eyes, whatever comes out from them is all yucky stuff. But the tongue can be used for something very wonderful. And the two things that Prabhupada says, very wonderful things that we can use by service, is by speaking, specifically speaking Krishna Katha or speaking Krishna's holy name, and the other one is to take Krishna Prasadam. That's nice, right? Krishna Prasadam. So, these two things, the tongue. We had I was giving a Srimad Bhagavatam class in St. Louis, and do you know the story of Puranjana, right? And he was living in a city of nine gates. So there's five gates in the northern side of the city. And those five gates are this, the northern side, the front side of the body. And those five gates are the eyes, the two nose, and the one mouth, right? Which is the southern side, do you know? And genitals. And then the western side? And then the right. So these are, so the front side is the north side of the city of nine gates. And so these five holes of the body, Narada, yeah. He says, this tongue, he uses the word mukhya. It's the chief of all the senses. How we use the tongue is extremely important. So what we did is, at the beginning of the class, we got a mirror, and everybody looked at the mirror. And I asked them to stare at your face in the mirror for a few minutes. So they stared at their face in the mirror for a few minutes, and to share, what do you see? Some people said, I'm getting old. Another person said, I was looking at other people and how I'm not so fair as others because we had one big long mirror and all of us were looking at the same time. And then we had all the Matajis look at the mirror and what do you see? And they saw, you know, they had their comments of what they saw, you know. They said, oh, my nose is crooked or something like that. And then after the class, we did the exercise again. Look at the mirror, look at yourselves in the mirror, and what do you see? The person, I'll just share one, there were many sharings, but the person who looked at the mirror and was looking at other people and trying to compare himself with other people's faces for whatever reason, he said, I felt very happy looking at the mirror after the class because I understood that this face is actually, first of all, not mine, it's Krishna's. And that this face is actually meant for service to Krishna. The mouth, this thing, is actually Krishna's property. We only have it for a little bit of time. And it's Krishna's property. What we speak and what we put in is actually meant for His service. What would He like us to say? What would He like us to put in there? So if we can start with that, so that's the Sevan Mukhe Jivada. When we can start in that mood of service using the senses, starting with the tongue, because it's the chief. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when we sit in front of Mahaprasadam or Prasadam and we take Prasadam, sometimes I've seen devotees, including myself, Mahaprasadam, quickly, you know, because you have to get to that tasty food. But if we can meditate on the prayer, it's so beautiful. Tare madhe jiva ati. That of all these senses, that when we're in a body that's a network of senses, and we're steeped in illusion. I don't remember the exact translation. Steeped in ignorance, and of all the senses, Tare madhe jivati, the tongue, the same word, jiva, J-I-H-V-A. Jiva, the tongue, is the most prominent. Tare madhe, of all these senses, the tongue is prominent and is voracious, he says. Lobhomoy sudurmati, it's very greedy, both for eating as well as speaking. Lobhamoy sudurmati taki jitakati na samsari. Very difficult to control this tongue, my dear Lord. But you have given us prasadam. Thank you very much. And then we take prasadam in that mood. Very kind. So if we can take prasadam in that mood of service, if we can chant the holy name in that mood of service, then that's the beginning, but then swayam eva spuratiyada. Over time, gradual purification, Krishna automatically manifests to us in the form of His name, in the form of His deity, in the form of the Bhagavatam, and so forth. That mood of service is critical. And it's like the changing, and that's the instruction we receive from great souls such as Narada and Angira. Vyaratam menu shasanam. That instruction, vyaratam means speeches, and anushasanam. Anushasanam is the instructions or the rules and regulations or the ways of worship. It's all to bring us to this point of how to become a servant of Krishna. And there's so many details to it. In fact, in deity worship, some of you are pujaris here, and there's so many rules and regulations to how to perform deity worship, but it's all to cultivate this softness of heart, this mood of humble service unto Krishna. That's the training. So, what happens in the perfection stage? One sees Krishna everywhere. In Chittaketu's case, he's able to see Krishna face to face because Krishna chooses to do so. In our case, we may not be able to see Krishna face to face, but we might get glimpses of Krishna, like how Narada got a glimpse of Krishna in the first canto in his meditation as a young boy. We might get a glimpse of Krishna through the chanting of the holy name. Or we might get a glimpse of Krishna when we're dancing in kirtan. Isn't it? And those glimpses is what gives us a little taste. And it gives us the power to keep going on. Because if we can see Krishna, right, we cannot perceive Krishna, why would we continue in Krishna consciousness? The very, you know, the sages are being told, Suta Goswami tells the sages that in the first chapter, Save Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radokshaje, Yayatma Haituki Apratihata, Yayatma Suprasidati. He says that you must, to be the highest perfection, or the perfection of religion, or the highest level of religion is this: you completely give everything. Right? Ahaituki, no motivation for yourself, completely selfless service, and apartihata, whatever material block comes in front of you, you don't consider it, you keep going, you keep serving Krishna selflessly, and who you're serving? Adokshaja, a person you cannot even see, you can't perceive, you can't hang out, you can't, you know. You have to completely give yourself to this person, you can't have, you know, you can't really. Na bhavet grahyam indriya, that he's not manifest in front of you. How do you do that? How do we develop love for someone we can't see? Or, you know, Prabhupada says see in this purport, he says see and understand. You cannot even understand him. One time he's speaking so nicely to Chitraketu, the other time he's keeping completely quiet with Mother Kunti and with, you know, how do you understand him? You can't understand him, you can't see him, yet we're supposed to develop this unalloyed love, completely give ourselves to him. How do you do it? So it starts a little bit. We have to have a little faith, adavshada. Practice, we serve. We receive reciprocation in so many different ways. And we see it that this is Krishna reciprocating with me. And then that gives us a little more. So it starts with service using Atta. And then when the perfection stage comes, we see Krishna everywhere, like how Prabhupada used to see Krishna everywhere. There's a beautiful offering that His Holiness Badra, remind me his name, GBC, California, Badrinayan Maharaj. Badrinayan Maharaj, beautiful offering a couple of years ago, he gave, offered to Sri Prabhupada for Vyas Puja. And all in that offering, he gives a bunch of stories of how Prabhupada sees Krishna everywhere. It's beautiful. So he says, one time, a person asked Prabhupada, in a airport, a reporter asked Prabhupada, "Can you see God?" Prabhupada looked at him and said, "Would you believe me if I told you?" And the person said, "Yes." Prabhupada said, "I'm seeing him at every moment." This guy was relentless. He said, "Okay, what is Krishna doing now?" Badrinath Maharaj would say, he said, some, you know, when Prabhupada would get such questions, he would just say, you know, "That's none of your business," or something like that. But Prabhupada, at that time, that specific time, Prabhupada closed his eyes, meditated a little bit, and he opened and he says, "Ah, Krishna is sitting." Prabhupada said, he says, "Who can understand the Supreme Personality of God? But who can understand Prabhupada?" Krishna sitting. How do you know that Krishna sitting? Another time, Prabhupada was giving darshan. It was a darshan to his followers in Los Angeles. And it was a cloudy, overcast day. And from the window, there was a streak of sunlight came. And it was only on Prabhupada, not on anybody else. And Prabhupada said, "One day, you will feel this sunlight as a lover's embrace." Another time he was giving a class like this, he saw a devotee sitting on the floor. He says, "You're thinking you're sitting on the floor. I feel that I'm sitting on Krishna's hand." One time Prabhupada was opening an orange. And as he was opening the tangerine, he opened the tangerine very carefully, and then he pulled out each piece, separated each piece, and he said, "How can they say there's no God? Look at this. Who can create a nicely packaged orange like this?" You know? And then one time Prabhupada was giving a class in London, Bhaktivedanta Manor, and it was packed, jam-packed. Prabhupada was sitting in his asana facing the deities, and one devotee, not a devotee, but one guest over there, he stood up at the end of the class and said, "Prabhupada, can you see God?" Prabhupada says, "Yes." He was pointing to Radha Gokulananda, the deities in London. He says, "But you're standing in the way." That's Krishna. And this is actually, the next verse talks about this exactly, and this sort of segue to the next tomorrow's discussion. But this is exactly the next thing that Sankarshan says. He says that the deity form and the holy name is me, myself. It's not different than me. So he emphasizes it. So anyway, that's the perfection. That's what Prabhupada, his mood is, and the verse that's being quoted here is Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanya, that he could see Krishna within his heart all the time. Powerful example. Something to look forward to if we just stick with the process of Krishna consciousness and properly apply it. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Did you raise your hand? Oh, okay, go ahead. You're waiting on the mic? Okay. What's that?
Like Catholicism.
I need it. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a wonderful and inspirational class. There's many points to be appreciated, but I have a question, but first I have an appreciation on one of your points you made. You said at the beginning of the class, you made the point that the Lord told King Shijaketu that he was perfect, but not independently. He needed the mercy. So this reminds me of one quote. I don't know who he is, a philosopher. I think his name is called Luciano de Crescenzo, something like that. He made the point that each and every one of us are angels with one wing, but we can only fly by embracing each other. So I kind of appreciated that, you know, that point. So my question is in regards to this Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochana universe. And it reminds me in chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, where Krishna says, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Yeah. To show them special mercy, I dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So in Prabhupada's commentary to 10:11, he states that even if a devotee is not familiar with the shastras, that's even right, if he doesn't take advantage of his spiritual master or the Vedic literatures, let's say due to being illiterate, let's say like Gorakhishor Das Babaji, that even the Lord still inspires him within, and he may have knowledge if he's sincere. So yeah, that was word used. But this may come up because, this problem may come up because sometimes we may feel that if I don't know 100 shlokas, Sanskrit shlokas or verses, I'm not going back to Godhead. And also this could cause some discrepancy, relationship problems between devotees because, you know, if someone has been inspired from within their heart or they feel like they want to share their realizations, but they don't know where to quote it from. You know, some, you know, just like the other day, Nityananda Prabhu quoted, you know, Shruti Shruti Purana Adi, devotional service that ignores the shastras is simply a disturbance. So this could cause some discrepancies between devotees, like, okay, where in the shastras does it say that? You know, and you're like, I don't know, I'm just trying to sincerely share my realizations. So can you kind of answer those two questions? How do we not become discouraged, you know, if we don't know so many verses, and how we could basically have better relationships, you know, not only, you know, we think, basically, we shouldn't also be proud if someone knows a lot of Sanskrit shlokas. That's a flip side of the coin. We shouldn't, you know, criticize them. All you're proud, we may be envious, but so that's also one. There's
like
you
answered your question about the relationship.
So I don't know, there's kind of, you know, three in one, so maybe you could kind of shoot down three questions with one stone.
Well, I want to be sensitive to time. It's 8:28, and we have to be done by 8:30, right? Más o menos? Okay. Well, I've been taught that we might have realizations, but it's always good to confirm our realizations either with Shastra or with Guru or with Sadhu. Because a whole bunch of people out there have a whole bunch of realizations. A whole bunch of people in here have a whole bunch of realizations too. But that realization should be confirmed by Guru Sadhu Shastra. That's our standard. I mean, what's the foundation of knowing anything? For us, it's Guru Sadhu and Shastra. Knowing shlokas may not necessarily be necessary to be able to confirm one's realizations. Knowing a sadhu may be sufficient. So if we can access one of those resources or all of those resources, a combination of those resources, we're good. Because even in Arjuna's case, even Arjuna, when he told Krishna, right after the verses you're describing, right? So Krishna said those verses, then Arjuna comments. Or not comments necessarily, but he glorifies Krishna, right? You remember the verse? Yeah, how did it start? Right after Tesham Evanu Kampartham, Aham Agyanajam. Next one. No, he glorifies Krishna immediately. He says, Param Brahma. So he says, Param Brahma, Param Dham. He's saying, you are the purest of the people. You are the, topmost living entity and so forth. He gives him all these accolades. It's as he's standing in front of Krishna. He's giving, you know, he's sharing his realizations. But
Then he says, Asita Devala Narada, that these people also are speaking about you in the same way, and therefore what I'm saying is right. He wasn't only depending upon what he could see and hear and feel at that moment, but he was basing his realization upon the great souls, Narada, Asita, Devala, in front of Krishna. Krishna is saying, I'm the greatest. And he's saying, yes, you're the greatest. And these people also are saying that you're the greatest. So if we can access one of the resources, regardless of whether we know shlokas or not, we're fine. But we need to access at least one of those resources, because otherwise it's just a group of mental speculators, International Society for Mental Speculators. Hare Krishna. Sure, Prabhu.
Class where in creating a educational objective, she told us that there are three things in the knowledge, skill and value. So it depends on what the shloka that one learns or doesn't learn. What's more important is more important than how many shlokas do we know is, does the, is in our heart, do the shlokas create certain values? Because one can know shloka as knowledge, they can just rat tat tat repeat something, or one may be very skillful at memorization. Some people just cannot remember, it's just not a skill they have. But does it create a value in the heart is more important. Whether they remember the shloka or not, the value, if one remembers a shloka as a value that they're guided by, then yeah, they should, it'd be very nice to know. Otherwise, the essence is important in all of this. Not so much the knowledge only or skill only. Those are also nice, but in and of themselves, superfluous.
We end at 8:33. Should we end? Questions, comments, suggestions.
So I'm very happy to take the blame. Thank you for doing this. I'm taking, among the other things that you said, something that I really appreciated and touched me very much was the asking of who am I as the day begins. And that's a very nice lesson. I'm taking it with me. Thank you.
Yes.
It's required to remind. Yeah, I think it's required to be reminded every day. But is it in the subtle consciousness? It goes in subtle consciousness, or
is it what?
It goes in our subtle consciousness that we are serving Krishna, or how?
Trying to ask ourselves that question, it opens the heart. Because what happens is when we get up in the morning, generally the first thing that fills our mind is things we got to do. Or generally we're stuck in a dream, or we're stuck in what happened yesterday, or that devotee said something, you know. We're stuck in a particular contemplation, and because we're stuck in a particular contemplation, we just mechanically start brushing our teeth, mechanically start shaving, mechanically jump in the shower, jump out. But that time is actually extremely special, I found. I mean, it's super special. The time we wake up, to the time we're sitting down to chant our rounds, is super special. Because there's so much like preparation of consciousness that can go into that time. It's a good half an hour before we start chanting japa. So what happens is that it opens the heart when we start asking the question, who am I? I don't know about you, but when I start asking myself that question, who am I at the start of the day, I realize, boy, I really don't know. I deeply don't know. I don't feel a strong sense of identity. Who am I? You know? And so that immediately opens the heart. Then my mind then goes, okay, let's go to the scripture. Maybe that has an answer. And that opening of the heart allows for the messages of scripture, the messages of the devotees to help us integrate it inside. But without asking that question, the heart kind of is not in an open state. It's kind of like stuck with something or just mechanically doing something. It's driven by passion and so forth. I don't know if that answered your question, but okay. Okay. Hare Krishna. Sorry? Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I think we'll end. Thank you all very much. Please forgive me if I've said something that was disturbing, please bless me to be able to practice Krishna consciousness in the way I've spoken. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kishore Kishori ki jai. Yamuna Jivandas. Okay.